Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shay.
Good morning, afternoon, evening.
And running the boards is Joey D's. Thanks, Waluigi.
Yeah.
On today's show, we will talk board games with Mr. BJ Shay. And Joe.
Hey.
We'll talk comic books because BJ's finally been able to read some comic books.
Okay, just one.
All right, well, I mean, yeah.
That's more time than I have.
We might get to that more, but of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have all our podcast blogs and more.
More!
Or just search for BJ Shay's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes to find us.
Yes, plenty of ways to get a hold of us, and, you know, it's always fun to get some words of encouragement, and if you want to leave us a 5-star review and some nice words, like I just said, please do so. Let me know that you've done that, and once we can get you a comic book, I've got a whole long pull box full of random comics that we'll send you one. Just let us know that you gave us that review, and yeah, definitely appreciate all of that. BJ.
Yes, sir.
It's comic book day.
Yeah.
So what'd you get to read?
Well, I'm very surprised because there haven't been comics since basically February, March.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to see that a new Spider-Man dropped.
Really?
Yeah. So far, that's the only one that I out of the ones that I get from Marvel, or actually, I mean, I have a couple of other ones from other companies they haven't dropped yet either, but Spider-Man 43 hit the stands, and part three of True Companions, which is just Spider-Man's, he's got to work with Boomerang, who's the biggest idiot as far as he's a semi-hero, he was a villain, he's a moron, he's Peter Parker's roommate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and they're fighting this gigantic creature who has the ability to use Pym particles somehow. It's embedded in this creature, so it's really a very small pet-like creature that can grow massive because of the Pym particles. And
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what? This story ends in a, and I love this. This is the greatest headline for an issue ever, and you're not going to expect this. It says, "Do not miss this issue. Peter Parker's life will change, possibly forever."
Forever!
And the cover of the issue just has this giant-faced Gog creature, which we've known, an old-school monster from the past that that Nick Spencer said, hey, let's bring him back and give him a backstory. And, yeah, so they're just dwarfed. Spider-Man and Boomerang are dwarfed by this gigantic image of Gog. And then they're just saying, Peter Parker's life will change forever. And, yes, it's true. And I can't wait for you to find out how.
Oh, is this one of them bait and switchies?
It's not a bait and switchy. It's true what they're saying.
All right.
But I had to laugh.
Okay.
And how it all ended. So check it out, Spidey 43.
Thank you. Now, since you're right here.
I am right here.
Board games.
Oh,
you play them once in a while, and actually quarantining, you've been able to play a lot of them.
I haven't done a whole lot, really.
Really?
The cool thing about it is that because my son has no social life.
What?
Because of quarantining.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah. he's been coming over to play board games a lot, and I do happen to have a lot, so you always have something fresh and new to play if you want. And I backed this game called Godspeed by Pandasaurus Games, and it looked really, really cool about the space race being a fake. And it was merely a cover story. In fact, we weren't trying to go to the moon. That wasn't where we were trying to go. We were trying to go to an exoplanet known as Minos. And yes, Russia was there first, but then all these other nations started showing up. And so that's really what we were doing, is we had much better technology than we were leading on. So sure, we let the world think we were going to the moon, but really we were taking our dimensional gate travel abilities to go to Minos. And this game is about settling this new planet, but we are all playing nations and who is going to be better at basically settling the planet, getting a foothold. And Joey D's got to play it as well. And I think we got a thumbs up from him.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was pretty fun. I got to play Canada.
Oh, Canada. So,
did you play it as a friendly nation, or were you the warmongering Canada like Gandhi and Civ?
Oh, no, I was pretty friendly.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to say, or hockey players.
Oh, yeah, right?
During a game.
Yeah, were you a goon?
No, I also didn't have any maple syrup. I was kind of disappointed.
Aww.
But I did end up getting second, barely, by 2 points.
Oh.
Yeah, we actually like somehow lost a turn and didn't move up our turn marker, even though we didn't lose the turn. It was very odd because you have a little tracker that lets you go from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And at one point, we're just like, I don't think we moved it up once. And BJ was like, yeah, we didn't. And then we had to hyper go up a turn. So my plans failed and got foiled. And then BJ beat me by 2 points.
That is probably my only complaint with a game or games like that, is that when there is a timer that involves moving stuff up, hey, let's go to the next round, the next round, the next round. You really got to be good like that, because it's, I mean, I get it. You look over there and you go, oh, we've got two more rounds left, and you don't.
Yeah.
You're done. Totally. And a game like Godspeed, which is a very cool worker placement game that has some great components. Of course, I got the Kickstarter copy. And so all
of did.
The resources are this beautiful resin plastic. Ooh. With printed images on them. And the money is real gold. And also your pieces are resin plastic with the flags printed on them. And so it's from a component standpoint, you go, all right, I just love this game. The game board looks beautiful. It looks like you're on an alien planet. And the decks of cards, the backs of the cards that go on the game board, match the game board itself, so you're still looking at this wonderful picture that the card backs do not disrupt, which is really, really fun. And it's not a difficult game to play, but it surely is a game that you go, all right, I got to figure it out. Three major components to the game. One is that you all have to decide to cooperate on a mission. If you don't, you all don't get the reward. If you all cooperate, you get the reward. If you don't all cooperate, the people who didn't decide to participate get punished. So it's interesting, because you have to sacrifice some of your workers to help in this mission, and you may need those workers to go do something else later.
Ooh.
Because there are worker-specific areas to be placed. Usually worker placement is I take my worker, put it in an empty space, and collect
from it. He just
does
the thing, yeah.
Like Lords of Waterdeep.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I can't place any worker but my biologist in the scientific area.
Oh.
In the infrastructure area, if I want to go there, I need my engineer. He's the only one to go there.
That
so,
makes sense.
But if I have to use my engineer to help out the High Council with a problem, then I don't have my engineer anymore.
Yeah.
So there's the first part of the game is, okay, do you sacrifice one of your guys? The second part of the game is, all right, we got to go get supplies, but we need influence. And so you, each one of your workers has an influence number, which basically means they can talk a good game and get to the front of the supply depot line. Well, that's a bidding aspect of it. And so it's like,
okay.
Well, I'm going to use my guys to bid. But then if I use my guys to bid, then I can't use those same guys to go to those specific areas, which is in the third phase, and that's the worker placement.
Seems a lot of micromanaging when it comes down to it.
There's a lot of good managing, but simple.
Okay.
You really don't have to crunch a whole lot to learn what to do. Your crunching comes in, what's my best strategy?
All right, yeah. And I mean, even at that point, you can still play and not have the best strategy. It's just going to kind of affect it as you're going along.
Which is what I like to do with a game. Let me just play, pick something that seems like it's the right thing to do. And then if it's not, well, I learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big thing about worker placement games, is it's hard to create kind of that multiplayer aspect to it, because a lot of times you're just doing what you're going to do, because you have a specific quest that you have to get resources for, and you're just placing your worker to get those resources. This game, every round, and there's 10 total rounds, has you do something with both the other players twice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Or else it just, like you just said, it just turns into a single player game, and you're just hanging around with people waiting for yourself to go.
Yeah. And you get to see what people have used. And you can block them out of areas. This game also has, like, there's only...
Oh, you jerk.
There's a limit to how many people can be put in a space.
Yeah.
So you can block people out, and you go, oh, I know...
Oh, sorry.
I know he wants to develop engineering projects. Well, I'll go to the engineering space, the only place you can develop those engineering projects.
Sorry, we're full.
Yeah, the themes are actually really good, because in that, you know, kind of sense of it, you really are racing. Because if they take something that you were going to do, you can't take that action that turn, which then means that you also realize they're ahead of you in that race and on that track. So it's hard to catch up in victory points in that sense. But also, if you plan correctly, the way the board is designed, you can do it in later rounds, which you could see why then that one round I lost sucked. But I will say, though, it was funny. We were playing, and the pieces he's talking about in his special collector's edition are so good that, like, the gold pieces, I kept getting gold because I wanted them, and then I realized I didn't really need them. I was like, why do I keep getting these?
You really should have been using them for something.
That's hilarious. Yeah. These are so shiny. I need to hoard them.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you're happy that you got the collector's edition, the Kickstarter edition, because it makes it so much better to have great components, just the tactile feel of it all. Pandasaurus Games, I'm sure you can buy a copy. I don't know if the Kickstarter copy is available, but the regular copy, I'm sure, is available on there. And you just go to their website, Pandasaurus Games. And what are we looking for at a price? I'm seeing you can pre-order it for under $45.
Oh, that's a good price there.
Yeah,
like, usually with when it comes to board games, if it's 60 and under, I'm way more apt to want to pick it up.
And if you're a worker placement fan, if you like games like Lords of Waterdeep, Champions of Midgard, I think this fits in nicely because, of course, you've got the D&D thing, you've got the Viking thing,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got a nice space worker placement. I know Alien Frontiers does scratch that itch as well. This, I think, is just a cooler way to do it. It's a neat way. And I love the idea that, the concept, the space race was a cover for us really having better technology. That's a fun thing.
That is great. And there's a lot of replayability because each country is unique in the sense that their board is built differently and the numbers on their specific engineers or their diplomats is different as well for the bidding aspect of the game. So there you get a lot from that.
Nice. You get nice little player bags that are like the flag of your. So they really? I mean, it's really nice.
I just love how Canada got second in the space race there.
Sorry, Canada.
So close.
What other board games have you been playing?
I can't wait to play this with my son since I did talk about with Joe and my daughter and maybe even Vicky too because I know how much Vicky loves Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah.
So while we can't meet with our buddies, there's a lot of great online gaming places. Steam has a good one, too, Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
There's also Board Game Arena, which is where you can play board games online. So my buddy Sean from Think 12 Games,
Shocking.
And of course, he and Josh, of course, from the Board Game Alliance podcast, which we'll be back someday once we get all on the coroned. Sean's like, hey, you got to check out the King's Guild. We've been playing it a lot, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, sure. And so, of course, I have to go check out the game itself to see what's going on.
Yep.
And it's by Mirror Box Games, and that's the same company that made Chaosmos, which is a great space sort of find the Ovoid game. And that was a really cool game. And so I'm like, all right, well, I like that game. Let's see what King's Guild is all about. And this is we're playing it online, and I liked it so much, even though I got destroyed in the first game. I came in last. I was so bad at this game.
Really?
But I liked it so much, I immediately went to the Mirror Box website and said, I must have this game. Give it to me now. It is a 60 to 90 minute strategy board game where it plays up to 6 players, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And you establish the most renowned guild, leading your guild to prosperity by crafting powerful equipment, sending heroes on quests to earn treasure, and upgrading your guild with unique characters and rooms. This is a cool thing where you have everyone has their own different game board, and you buy rooms basically to add on to your particular complex. And when you fill in a space, you sometimes will get resources. And this has elements of Splendor to it, because in Splendor, you've got to take resources, and you get to take 3 or you get to take 2, just like Splendor, and you have to be really good about what it is. The quests are interesting. It reminds me of that. What was that game we played, Vicky, at the con where we had to help the people go on quests? The game that was given to you.
We have to go on quests.
Remember, we help them with the
quests. Yes.
They come to our taverns.
Something quest.
Yes.
Give me a sec.
Red Dragon Inn or something?
Basically, we're shopkeepers, and we're trying to sell them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys recently just talked about that.
I can't remember the name. Vicky will find out.
Give me a sec.
So there's that aspect of it where the questers show up, and you have to go, basically, you have to sell stuff in order to give them the equipment they need to go on their quest. And if you do, they will give you they'll give you some treasure for helping
bargain
them out.
Bargain quest.
Yes. So it's like Bargain Quest, where I'm not going on the quest, I'm equipping the people for a quest. And there's a unique aspect to this game where the quests are, you can do a quest by yourself, or you can you could provide the quester by yourself, or you can team up with somebody else to provide somebody the quest. And that's a precarious position, because if you collect the card for doing it, you'll get icons, which can help you get victory points at the end of the game. Or you get your choice of the 2 treasures that are given because you're in a double quest situation. So what do I want to be? Do I want the card, or do I want my choice of the treasures, because there's set collection and cool things that the treasures give you? So it's kind of, it really is kind of Splendor meets Lords of Waterdeep in the way that it works.
Great, yeah.
And 2 things I love.
And the and the artwork, that's why I was thinking of you, Vicky. The artwork looks really cool. It's set in medieval times and the questing and all the different magic and all that. And it's really a fun, good game. We played it a lot last weekend online, and I was like, I will order this game. I want to play this for reals.
Now, I've been looking online, and just the quick ones, look at it. It looks pretty pricey. Were you able to get it for an affordable price?
See, if you go to mirrorboxgames.com, you can get it for $60.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I was looking at other places that said it was over $100. Ooh. So, yeah, and that was like, I was like, that's kind of a pricey thing.
It was
a
Kickstarter game, and I get when people, you know, hey, I got my Kickstarter game and everybody wants it and you can't get it, I'm going to charge ridiculous money for it. Always check the website of any company that makes a Kickstarter game, because it's there and it's really the reasonable price. So these people who are idiots on eBay doing I feel like, what are you doing? I mean, you see over there, Mirrorbox has got it at its cost. What are you doing?
Perfect. And that's the one thing I wanted to make sure on that, because if you can get it from the source and you don't have to spend an extra $40, that can really sway somebody in wanting to buy it or not.
Yeah, you like Splendor, you like King's Guild, and some people, you know, Century Spice Road also is something that's a, you know, that some people love that too. I think, you know, this game gives you all of that, and it's, and the artwork is pretty. I just love the game.
Nice. Moving on from board games, a little bit of movie news. I didn't know if we needed it, but it's going to happen.
What's this?
Deadline reports that Scott Derrickson from Doctor Strange cinematic fame is set to direct a Labyrinth sequel that will be produced by Jim Henson's daughter, Lisa.
Ooh.
Directing a script from Into the Dark's Maggie Levin. Now, we don't know anything about details about what the movie's going to be about beyond the fact that it's a sequel to the 1986 classic, something that's been attempted before. Ooh. And whether or not any of the members of the original movie's cast will reprise the roles, it will be difficult because David Bowie has since passed. And I don't know if Jennifer Connelly necessarily wants to do anything along these lines.
So are they going to get a giant teapot then? Because
a giant teapot.
That's what they had to do for David Bowie's character in Twin Peaks.
Oh,
they did.
They turned him into a teapot?
They turned him into this giant teapot.
Well, okay, first off, this isn't being written or directed by David Lynch, so I don't think we'll have to worry about that.
I want them to make it a giant teapot, just because then it would be for David Bowie continuity.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I could see it maybe, like, Jennifer Connelly is older now. Maybe it's her daughter, or it's the little boy, I don't remember his name, but the baby suddenly, like the baby's baby gets kidnapped.
Yeah, why not?
And it's a new Goblin King, or it's like they could even do something along the lines of what they did with Dr. Parnassus back with Heath Ledger, and they have just a different person playing the Goblin King, and it's just like, well, I've gone through some transformations since we've last seen each other 30-some-odd years ago.
Well, that's what they did in The Matrix 3. Sometimes, kiddo, you just have to efface the change that you got.
Exactly.
Know? And you're like, all right, I'm buying this.
I don't know if I necessarily wanted it, but also I did not want it. So I'm cautiously optimistic at this point.
We'll take anything, won't we? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we're nerds. We're still going to watch it.
We've been watching a lot of bad movies on Netflix, so we'll take almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. A lot of good sci-fi movies out there.
Now I'm trying to think of who I'd want to play as the Goblin King.
And that's the thing. I'm just like, well, you got to you got to get two roles for that. You got to get David Bowie as the Goblin King. So you need the Goblin King, but you also need the Goblin King's codpiece, because that's its own character. Pretty sure it got its own billing in that old movie there.
Hope.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Well, let us know how you feel, who you think should be the Goblin King. But right now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what's going on?
So how do you guys feel about actors playing multiple superheroes?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
it really depends on the success of the franchise. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The two people I can think of, the franchise that they starred in first was not very successful.
And I'm probably thinking of the same two.
Yeah.
And they both were the same character?
No.
I was thinking Human Torch.
Well, I was thinking Human Torch, Chris Evans.
Yes.
Because he went on to be Captain America.
That's the first one.
And then I was thinking Ryan Reynolds as
the second one.
Green Lantern, who then went on to become Deadpool.
See, I was thinking Michael B. Jordan, who was the Human Torch in that crappy movie, and then was Killmonger in Black Panther.
Oh, there are a couple of them.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Michael B. Jordan. I guess because of the fact that he really isn't a hero.
Yeah,
that's fair.
In the second one. But
and to be perfectly honest, Ryan Reynolds was actually Deadpool twice.
That's actually, you're right. He was Deadpool twice.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was the only good part of that movie, was when Ryan Reynolds was able to actually be Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
It was like I loved where that was going to go until they turn him into
until they went funny stupid thing.
Right. Like it's a little weirder when it's within the same world.
Mm-hmm.
Like but it also depends how much time is in between them. Like Chris Evans, I feel like there was enough time between Captain America and the Human Torch. But some people are just jumping in and playing all these characters because, hell yeah, there's money in these movies.
Gosh, yeah, right.
And the Fantastic Four just wasn't as well received as I would like. I mean, it wasn't hated that much, but still, I think for a lot of folks, I don't know, it's semi-forgettable so that you can wash your palate and appreciate him as, you know, Steve Rogers.
Yes.
Joey, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the Fantastic Four movies in particular kind of don't exist in most people's minds.
Right.
So all those actors kind of get a pass. And, you know, everyone loves Ryan Reynolds, and he kind of plays a joke character a lot of the times in the sense that, like, he can break a lot of walls and stuff, so they don't really, you know, take him for that. But, like, for instance, you couldn't put Hugh Jackman as something other than Wolverine. It just would never work.
Yeah, I just don't think that will work anymore, yeah.
I mean, we do have, like, even minor characters. Like, Lawrence Fishburne appeared in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice and then starred in Ant-Man and the Wasp 2 years later.
Oh!
Like, yeah, but he was just a cat. Yeah, he's a minor dude.
But I forget about that. Yeah.
Because he was just a regular dude, you know, a scientist.
I know. Yeah. Like, Lawrence Fishburne could have been, like, a really cool character. I don't know which one right now, but I think he could have been, like,
old?
A superhero.
That's the problem. He's kind of looking old these days.
You can have old superheroes.
Oh, see, that's what says the guy that might be getting closer to where Lawrence
see,
is.
Exactly. Yeah. I still want to be a superhero, damn it.
Okay.
Well, this writer named Jason Weiss on cinemablend.com
wrote an
article about five Marvel characters that Margot Robbie would be perfect to play. She is Harley Quinn in the DC world.
Ooh, you know, she is very iconic as Harley Quinn, so it's not... She's more iconic as Harley Quinn than Ryan was as Green Lantern.
I think
and
it would
Chris
be a step
George.
Down to be anybody in the Marvel Universe.
I'm interested.
I'm curious. I mean, she would look different enough that, you know... She could probably do it.
Well, she's an actor, so I would imagine she can get... And Harley is such a pronounced character that almost being anybody else would be different.
Well, the first one he picks out is Dazzler.
Our old friend Brandon Jurwell would probably love that.
I can't even remember who Dazzler is, her personality.
She dazzled.
I know who she is, but I mean,
she's a musician.
Her personality, like who she be, is completely forgettable to me. I know what her power was. And all
she's
that.
Basically like an 80s pop star.
Yeah.
So just think of like a Tiffany
or, like a
or
a
Debbie
suit-y.
Gibson. Yeah. Or just like any sort of like disco musician would be along those lines. Yeah.
Which is funny because the first time I ever saw Dazzler in a comic was, I think, Ultimate X-Men. One of the issues, and she was a punk singer instead.
Yeah.
So they gave her like a weird kind of haircut and everything. It was pretty fantastic. So they had completely changed her up. But he says that as soon as she walked into the frame as Naomi in the Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street, it was clear that Margot Robbie was destined to become an icon of fashion with how easily she could perfect any look. And admittedly, fashion is not a characteristic as commonly associated with Dazzler, but whose abilities to create light of the sound earned her a place among the X-Men and singing career, but her sense of fashion is undeniably iconic to the comic book world.
She was kind of a terrible, like, X-Men type character.
Yeah.
Like, the powers are, like, sure.
Yeah.
But you gotta kind of work around that, and it makes sense to have her being a musician in any aspect.
Mm-hmm. Next one, I don't agree with this.
Uh-oh.
Black Cat. Because
Felicia Hardy,
she had a thing with Tom Holland, and he's 6 years younger than her.
Yeah, I think I would be okay with that.
The trouble is that this is more when Peter looks a little bit more adult.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd be a great Black Cat because Black Cat is sexy and broken, and I definitely think that she could play that role. That's actually so far I agree with that more than anything you said.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like Tom Holland's going to look like a baby up until he's 50.
I can't argue with that. It's tough.
The only interactions have just to be when they're both in their suits.
Right.
Like, don't meet up at any point any other time.
Don't date.
Yeah putting them
date.
Together
exactly.
is a challenge.
Don't date.
Because he met her after high school. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Holland is at least we're made to believe he's in high school, so that would be tough.
And he's in his early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is Emma Frost.
Oh.
I think look-wise, she definitely has it. She can definitely be like the villain, obviously, but she can be really sweet. We did have January Jones in, was it X-Men First Class?
And she's a very good, she plays a good distracted, like, you know, like she's not really with you when she's with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost, it's a cold, disassociative sort of performance that January can do. And I don't know if that's who Emma Frost is in the comics, but I loved her version. And so that's going to be tough for me to compare what anybody does to, which I thought was a really great performance by January Jones as Emma Frost.
See, Emma,
I loved her Emma.
And like at the bits and pieces I've read with Emma Frost, I've always disliked her because I'm like, she was always a wedge between Scott and Jean. But
sorry.
She always came off as like, I am the bitch in charge and I'm going to do what I choose to do. Like,
yeah,
it is my rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's
yeah.
the queen.
And I love the way January played that. It wasn't exactly super like over the top. I'm just, you know, going to be the alpha. But it was more like a regal, entitled sort of.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, why am I even talking
really?
To you?
For me, I got the sense of it's kind of like that hot chick with that older dude on the like on the big old yacht. It's just like, I know, like I'm with this person or this idiot because I know it's going to further with what I want.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a sort of like, you know what, he's the guy in power, so it's not beneath me to be with him, but actually I'm more brilliant than he is.
Yes.
Wait, I've got one for Margot Robbie. It might be on this list. I haven't looked at the list.
The ever loving blue eyed thing. Me and I are just thinking the same level.
No, I don't think no? that would No. Squirrel Girl.
Oh, I don't know much about Squirrel Girl.
No.
Squirrel Girl
She's
has
annoying.
Defeated some of the greatest villains in all of Marvel history. Somehow, magically, off screen every single time.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how she does it.
I think there was a rumor, I don't know if it's still going on or if it's going to happen, that Anna Kendrick would be Squirrel Girl, which I think would be perfect.
Oh, even better. All right, fine. Yep, that's better. Never mind. Okay. Sorry, Margo, you lost it.
This one I really like don't agree with because I already have somebody else in mind for this character. She-Hulk.
Yeah, I would like to see, and we probably have the same person. I want to see Ronda Rousey.
See, kind of, not quite. Gina Carino?
Yes.
Yes, The Mandalorian.
Oh, good call.
They're both MMA fighters. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I just think that, I mean, Harley Quinn is just not ripped enough for me.
Robbie.
Margot just doesn't strike me as a Hulkish character when in Hulk form.
The thing is, I remember just looking at Kumail Nanjiani and how they got him ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not the form that you would imagine for them to do, but the Disney machine, the Marvel machine, they'll just put you through the ringer, get you all those trainers, dehydrate you to get you that bod.
Well,
so.
Is it going to be CGI when she's in She-Hulk form, or is she going?
I don't know. And I don't know either, because they did that with Ruffalo for Hulk.
Yeah, I suppose if she's CGI, then what the heck, Margot Robbie could probably do it.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not going to be her, but the CGI.
Yeah, Vicky beats She-Hulk at that point.
But I mean, if they're going to do like a Gamora situation where they just paint it on.
Yeah.
But then she's not very Hulk-like. She's just a normal sized person.
Well, I mean, I guess they're probably going to have to enhance her height, kind of like what they did with Gandalf. And they did the perspective altering.
Yeah,
well,
with
that
the
would
Hobbits
be interesting
stuff,
if she ripped her. If she got ripped, and because at least the She-Hulk in the comics is not overly insanely ripped the way the Hulk is.
No,
she's strong. She's still like 6 foot or something.
Yes,
ridiculous.
But she looks more of like she looks more human, if you will, with her proportions than
she's
the
like
Hulk
an
does.
Amazonian woman.
Yeah,
basically.
Good call. Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
Why I love Gina for it, because she is built not necessarily as like you know, an in tone or in shape model. She is built like an athlete, like a brick S house. Like and she worked for those muscles.
All right, Gal Gadot. That's who we should have.
That's
She-Hulk. Fine.
And last one on this list. I don't hate, but I think I would rather somebody else for this role. Invisible Woman.
I was wondering if you were going to get to that. I really was wondering if you were going to get to that. Here's what I would say. Does she and John Krasinski make a good team? Because it has to be Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
Yes, I think we all agree that it's John Krasinski.
She's supposed to be younger than him. So that's why I like the idea that I believe she might be 10 years.
She's younger than me.
Yeah. Oh, is she really?
Yeah.
Oh, then she's definitely younger than Krasinski. And I'll buy that because in the comics, Reed is at least, I believe, 10 years older than Sue.
And she is 29.
Yeah, right, and, so and Jim Krasinski's about 40.
Yeah, it kind of fits itself out.
I would not have a problem with that at all.
I'd be okay with that, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. But, you know, Sue is a lot more intelligent and a lot tougher And I mean, she's got a great combo of nurture, kindness, toughness, intelligence. You know, she's got a different kind of intelligence. And Reed is obviously a super brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
But Sue has got some really good, like, emotional intelligence as well as normal. I think Sue's probably got a really high IQ. It's just next to Reed, everybody looks dumb.
Yeah. The problem is with Reed is that he has no perspective. And it's less common sense than intelligence, really, when it comes down to all of that.
Is it kind of like a Sheldon Cooper situation?
Well, even beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's, like, really mega super intelligent.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the idea of, like, you don't really understand everything else what's going on because you're so smart.
I think that they never painted him the way he is, the way Sheldon's been painted, mm-hmm. but I would agree with that. It's just like how they gave us a new version of Sherlock Holmes for that, realizing that this guy had issues.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. If Margot Robbie was to play a superhero, I kind of want her to play a superhero in The Boys. I think she would fit perfectly in that series.
Yeah, we're just going to be done with Marvel versus DC.
Yeah.
Just go straight to The Boys.
I know who she should play.
Oh, no.
Oh, The Pro.
which is a one-off by the same great team of Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson.
Oh my God, it is fantastic. It is, yeah, like BJ said, he actually was the one, I think, that let me borrow it in the first place. It is not for children.
It is not.
Filthy.
It is,
if you give anybody superpowers, will they be good? And so these aliens gave superpowers to a hooker.
Yep, because, well...
Why not? It is fantastic. They make fun of the Justice League.
I like that.
Hard.
As it were.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.